Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew. He is Rob Schneider.
Loveline, yes. Day three.
Day three.
Wow.
Day three. You seem to be kind of settled in. You're calm now.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like, you know, last night was a really great show, and I think we peaked, but it's going to be tough to beat. But we'll see how it goes.
Rob and I did a little promo here in Los Angeles for the show just before we went on the air, and I mentioned that there was a peak. There was sort of a moment in the show last night that really, a peak, I think is the right word.
Okay, all right.
Just learning about your relationship with the finger and the tuchus and the prostate.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting. I've never really met a guy that was into that stuff, and I'm pleased to know that you're...
Well, I'm curious about it.
Curious and liberated and just...
I'm open-minded.
Living large.
Yeah, you only live once.
That's good. All right, so Benchwarmers coming up. That's your next movie, right?
Benchwarmers, yeah.
You told me about that a few minutes ago.
It was a nice screening they had out in Thousand Oaks. I want to thank everybody who went to that. And I heard that they liked the movie a lot, so that's good.
Who's in that film?
Adam Sandler worked really hard on it. He wrote it with the great Alan Covert. Hello. And then Nick Swardson. And who else is in it? The great David Spade, John Heater. From Napoleon Dynamite, John Lovitz.
Where'd you film it?
Here in L.A. It was really nice to shoot a baseball movie.
A film shot in
L.A.? I know. It was great. But so I'm really happy for that. And the guys at Revolution and Sony are doing that movie. So
then on November 29th, Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, comes out on DVD.
Yes, it invades the video stores.
And I think everybody knows Rob Schneider. Right? Do people still, you know how time kind of moves along. Does your SNL characters, do people still come up to you?
Not much anymore. Most of the kids today don't remember from SNL. I still get the occasional, you're Pauly Shore, aren't you? I get that. I'm sure he must get that. It must be worse for him. Pauly, you were great in Deuce Bigelow. He must get that. Must bug him.
All right, let's take some calls. How about that? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. This is now, let's see. Oh, my goodness. This is Emily, 22.
Okay.
Hi. I have a job where I take care of adult handicapped people, different developmental disabilities.
Yeah.
And one of the girls was going to the bathroom, and she was playing in her feces.
Playing?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Yeah. I had severely autistic kid I treated once who was on medication. They couldn't figure out why he kept getting toxic on his medication. Because he was eating the old feces.
Wow.
It's called coprophagia. When he wasn't eating it, he was finger painting with it.
Well, at least he was being artistic. He was doing something positive.
He was. Very positive guy. Very positive guy. And so, Emily, what's your question?
So I put some gloves on, and I went to wash her hands up. And she grabbed my wrist and dug her fingernails into my wrist.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks after the fact, I found out that she had hepatitis C. And I was wondering if it's contractable through that.
It absolutely is contractable, but rare.
Yeah, I've never heard of it being contracted that way, though. There's all sorts of...
there's bacteria and stuff that comes through, but it's...
That virus is a tough one to get. It's very similar to HIV in terms of how it's transmitted. It's a retrovirus. And so it's not... for instance, I heard a discussion once by a scientist who was saying that if you took a drop of blood... Let's see how this worked. And put it in a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. A drop of blood infected with hepatitis B.
Yeah.
And put it in a swimming pool.
Which is not a bad idea, by the way.
And then drew out a couple cc's of that pool water and injected it. You transmit hepatitis B every time.
Wow.
Hepatitis B is very contractible.
While if you put a cup of blood into a quart of water, you rarely transmit hepatitis C.
Into a pool?
That it's so highly concentrated. It's an issue of how concentrated is the virus.
Okay.
That basically pulling up 2 cc's of fluid in a swimming pool with one drop of blood diluted into it would transmit hepatitis B.
Right.
But hepatitis C, you could put a cup in a quart and you wouldn't be able to. So it's a very difficult disease to contract that way, though certainly sharing needles and these sorts of things are obviously the means whereby it's transmitted. And people speculate that it's actually the drawing of the blood back up into the syringe where you really do the job. So it's not so much what's on the tip of the needle or on the tip of the fingernails that's likely to transmit it. And I don't think there's much of it in the feces.
In other words, next time you got the person there who's playing with their feces, go out the back and get the hose. Hose them down.
Okay.
All right, Emily. All right. Good luck.
You'll be all right.
You should check out hepatitis B, though. That can be transmitted that way. Or just other infections.
Or it could just be a bad infection you get there. You might need some antibiotics.
There you go. Steven, 24.
Yeah. Hey, guys. What's up?
Hey, what's up? Hey, you're all right. You're okay.
Yeah. I have this weird fetish for pregnant chicks, and I don't know why.
Wow. Okay. All right.
And it's not like just pregnant chicks, because I like, you know, non-impregnated chicks, too. But
sure, right. But there's like, something with pregnant chicks that just rocks your boat.
Yeah. It's like I could be walking down the mall, and, you know, a pregnant girl walks by me, and, I mean, the march is on, you know?
Ooh. You mean you walk behind just to look at her?
Have you been successful in your quest to consummate this fixation of yours?
Well, no. I mean, I don't, like, really, like, go pursue them or anything.
Do you
like
look
that
on the web at pictures, that kind of thing?
I have, yeah.
That's what you're bothered by, huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously, are there websites out there for people like you?
Apparently.
Yeah, evidently.
Let me ask you.
You found all 6,000 of them.
Do you still have a good relationship with mommy?
Oh, yeah.
You do? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Do you have lots of brothers and sisters?
No, none.
Okay.
Ooh, okay, well, maybe there's something to that. Good call.
Was there ever a child that was like a miscarriage or something, or when you were growing up?
Well, one of my exes and I.
Mom. I mean, your mom.
Oh,
like when
mom?
You were family of origin.
Oh, no, not that I know of.
Nothing like that.
Okay.
All right, so listen, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it, from just a pure biological standpoint, pure evolutionary perspective.
I like this.
That men would be kind of turned on by a pregnant woman, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the goal. That's the object of the whole act.
Especially if I did it.
So, right, right. Well, that's...
I did that.
That's part of the evolutionary thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes some sense that it would be arousing. And some guys, and it's what is fascinating, though,
don't
is
let
that,
him off the hook too much. He's a weirdo. This guy's a weirdo.
Very few people are one way or the other on this one. You know what I mean? Very few people are neutral on this one. But people are either like... Men are either like, oh, or they're into it.
Yeah, but however, I just think what is exacerbating this fixation.
And by the way, Rob, it means she's been with another guy.
Yeah, right.
Which
yeah.
I know that really bothers you.
Well, it bothers me, and I love it. Hey, here's the deal. Stop watching so much computer stuff about the pregnantchick.com porn site that you got over there, because that'll increase your. I would say it'll.
Well, that's interesting because men get momentum with stuff, right? Just like if you're drinking heavily, it gets
builds
going.
Up. It becomes I don't want to say addiction. It becomes a fixation.
Yeah,
and
highly arousing images become more arousing, right?
The only way to do that is to get more that same stimulation. So if this guy's watching and watching and watching and can't stop, I need pregnant chicks, and that's so. Therefore, it builds to something, and then you know.
What was it St. Augustine said? Abstinence is better than the perfect moderation. Is always better than the perfect moderation.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. He also said some terrible anti-Semitic stuff.
He did? Did he really?
Terrible anti-Semite, yeah.
St. Augustine?
Yes, absolutely.
Interesting. Michael, 17.
Hey, I got a question. It's, I'm in a relationship with a girl pretty recent, and I constantly just like hugging her and everything. Just been around her.
What a weirdo you are. I thought we monitored these calls.
He's into frauderism, right? The rubbing up against frauderism.
Ah, okay, all right.
Maybe, Michael?
I just learned a new word. You frauderist.
What?
So go on. So what's the deal now, Michael?
I just keep on getting an erection, just like doing simple things with her, like holding her hand, hugging her. And it's just like walking around, and I was like, oh, my God, I got to hide this thing. I'm like, oh.
That's, you know what, you're normal.
Heavy
you know
jeans,
what?
Jean pants.
40 years from now, you're going to long for the days when all you had to do was brush up against a young, vibrant young lady, and then the next thing I know, I could cut glass.
Now what's it take?
Now, well, for me, believe me, it takes more, it takes some of that stimulation, more a lot of stimulation, to be honest with you.
So back to the prostate again?
Yeah. Well, Michael, you're normal. That's okay. You're 17.
You know what's interesting, though?
When you're 17, you wake up and you can't go through a wall with your boner, then you should call us with a problem.
But you're right. That's absolutely right. And, yeah. Michael, you should celebrate your health.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's my question, and this is not for Michael so much as for his girlfriend.
Okay.
What do women think about this?
Well, you know what? Women are cooler than we give them credit. I mean, like, when you take an 18-year-old girl, by the time she's 18, she's an expert in turning down guys. She's in basically, unless she has problems
right.
or whatever.
No, you're right.
She's an expert,
almost
whereas
any girl.
Guys are still basically retarded at
yes,
17.
You're right.
Like, take a perfect example. Michael in Tucson, who thinks he's got a boner when he's holding her hand and he thinks something's wrong with him. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, eventually, you know, if you, you know, show her that you care about her and stuff like that or fool her into it, she'll do something with that and you guys can have fun with that.
You're talking about medicating or drugging her?
I'm saying wear a condom and do something with it. But, you know, it just that's another thing. It blew me away last night. All these women
have
to say,
no
condoms. It's like, it's 2005.
Not only that, listen, that's what you and your peers wore condoms. These kids don't need to wear condoms.
Yeah,
you
we
know.
You
know what I'm saying? Condoms, dad wore condoms. Dad wore condoms.
But,
yeah, it's really bad. It's down.
You're fine. You're a goober. But you got a girl who's next to you. You're getting a boner. Enjoy
it. I have a question.
I'm not planning on having sex with her or anything. Right?
Good.
Good. Well, good for you.
But here's my question. Should Michael bring this up with her?
No. You know what? She's going to know. Because she's a hip chick. And just, you know what I recommend? Some tight undies.
Yeah, tight undies.
Seriously,
and heavy
tight
jeans.
Underwears and just some baggy jeans.
Corduroys.
And a really flowery long shirt. And just say, you know, put your hands in your pockets. You can deal with it. You're 17, man. Come on. You got a lot of time on your hands. You can figure this out.
Gavin's 32. Gavin.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
It's a pleasure, Gavin. It's great to have you on.
Quite welcome.
Hope things are good. So how are things for you in St. Louis?
You know, they're top-notch, man. They're better. You're doing a hell of a job hosting the show. Love having you on.
Thanks, man. So what do we got going?
I've got an 11-year-old stepson who asked mom this evening about masturbating.
Right.
Asked, quote-unquote, is it okay for me to play with my balls? But I didn't, just before we jump in, not a bogus call.
He's 11?
He's 11. My question is, we've
a little early.
Yeah, that's what we're worried is.
Well,
we want to maintain
don't be worried.
Dialogue. Well, we want to be. It's tough not being worried about it, but we want to maintain an open dialogue. But
yes.
At the same time, we want to be balanced and make sure we're not over sexualizing them.
Yes.
So looking for a little.
You know what?
On
first of all, chances are, Gavin. Chances are, somebody else brought it up with him, and he's not really that curious about it. But the more that you make a big deal out of it, the more he's going to think it's a big deal. So don't make it a big deal.
Absolutely.
You know? So the thing is, but, you know, why he went to and talked to your wife first and not you is something that is a little different, you know?
I can answer
anything,
that. Yeah.
Anything with my nuts, I went right to dad.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't talk to my mother about my nuts until like last week.
My son's tend to go.
It was a very uncomfortable conversation.
Tends to go to mom.
Really?
Well,
that's because
she
heard you talking about your prostate massage. That's why you had to talk
mom,
to mom.
I'm sorry. No, but
the reason he went to her is I'm stepdad. So
well, that makes sense. Okay. So, and also, you know,
basically said, hey, it's, you know, masturbation is the normal part. It can be healthy.
All right. Well, Gavin, hold on. You've already sort of, and she's actually gone too far, in my opinion, already.
Okay.
He's not talking about masturbation. That's a word he's going to go, what just hit me? What the heck was that?
Yeah.
He asked, is it okay to touch my balls? That's what he asked.
Right, right, right.
And so what you got to go is, yes, that's okay. What makes you ask that question? What's going on? What do you mean by that? Keep it on their terms. Don't launch into your need to talk to them about masturbation,
well,
how healthy it is.
You're elevating the situation there when it maybe doesn't necessarily have to be. And so, again, if you're making it, she's making a bigger deal out of it than he is, then the next thing you know, he's going to be whipping them out in grade school and shoving them against
hopefully
the wall.
Not.
No, he
hopefully
won't be
not.
Doing that. But anyway, don't make a big deal out of it. It's going to be all right. I mean, is there anything else there, Gav?
Oh, I guess, is there a recommended reading from you, Drew, on, because we know there's going to be more questions coming up, something that would be a good reference.
Let me just give you a good parenting book. It's called Parenting from the Inside Out by Dan Siegel. Parenting from the Inside Out. But let me reiterate, keep it on their terms. You got to make sure what they're asking. What are they asking? Maybe he was talking about billiard ball. You know what I mean? Kids ask the craziest questions, and they have no idea what they're actually asking.
Yeah, you want to
My daughter asked me when she was five if my wife and I sexed. Do you sex, she said.
Yeah.
And I went, and I first of all, freaked out. And then secondly, took a deep breath and went, well, what do you mean? She goes, I mean, you know, like they do on TV, they kiss. And I go, yes, we do that. And she thought, oh, we've had the greatest conversation.
Right, yeah.
That's
yeah.
all she wanted to know. Do we kiss? She used the word sex. She'd heard it a million times, had no idea what it meant. So when you use a word like masturbation, when he's talking about touching his balls, there's a huge disconnect
there. I mean, I would just keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
You
right.
can touch him, just don't let anybody else.
Hey, Drew, why is it that when you rub your balls while you're jerking off that it feels so much better?
Steve-O, oh, man. He has to do lots of things while he's jerking off to make things feel good. He's used to sort of high levels of stimulation.
I guess.
Here we go. This is Lee, who's 22.
Hey, Lee, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
No, this is your call from Modesto. It better be something strange.
It's not that strange. It's just I have a question. I have panic attacks and anxiety attacks a lot, and I wanted to know if it's related anything to the medicines I took for ADHD and depression when I was younger.
If you took them.
Are you still on meds?
No. I haven't been on meds since I was 12. My mom's boyfriend thought it would be better for me to be getting contact high from him.
Uh-oh. Well, do you smoke a lot of pot?
No, I don't do any drugs at all. I drink a lot, though.
All right, well, that causes panic and anxiety. Wow. You're basically developing alcohol withdrawal. And the panic and anxiety attacks, that's the same thing. And really, it's not, in fact, panic attack. It's alcohol withdrawal, which is experienced as a panic attack. So you need to get detoxed. You need to understand there's about a 60% fatality rate with delirium tremens. So it's something that needs to be monitored carefully by a doctor. If you stop suddenly your alcohol consumption, seizures are very likely. But if you're drinking enough to get panic attacks...
How much are you drinking?
I drink about a pint of whiskey a week. But the thing is, I was having those before I started drinking, and they actually lessen a little bit with the drinking. That's why
They lessen when you're drinking, but when you're off, they intensify. So the cycle is, I have panic in the morning, I have panic throughout the day, so I drink to make it feel better, which intensifies the panic and anxiety during the day and the following day.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And in fact, what they've shown now also is that those withdrawal symptoms, where you get the tremor and the panic and all that, is actually damaging to the brain. There's actually evidence now that this really needs to be medically managed, without which that is probably one of the contributing factors to why alcohol damages brain. That's what they think now. So let's take care of this, Lee. My goodness.
Well, I think, you know, in any situation that you're having anxiety and you're not realizing you're drinking a pint of gin a week, that's adding to it. It's certainly not going to make it better. So I just think that was Modesto. That's what I expect.
And because, you know, Lee, alcoholism is a disorder of a part of the brain called the medial forebrain bundle, which is your drive system, your survival system. So it's outside of consciousness. It drives the use, and you can't use your volition or your rational brain to control that part of the brain. Just there's no connection there. So you have to go get some kind of treatment that specifically is directed at those experiential parts of the brain.
But what do you think about functioning alcoholics?
I have millions of them.
They can drink like a buddy of mine.
Yeah, millions of them. And that because it's a progressive disease, though, it will eventually progress. My thing is, same thing with all drugs. It's like if it's working for them, you can't talk them out of it. So what the hell? If people are not interested in stopping.
And they're able to keep a job down.
If people are not interested in stopping.
They're not going to stop.
Well, none of that. Why
should they?
Well, who we to see? You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah. If it hasn't caused problems, the problem. Yeah. The difficult thing I see is I know what's coming. I know where it's going.
It's kind of
makes me
ahead.
Sad, but you know what? You got to wait till that happens. So
interesting.
Tim, 17.
Tim.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hang a second, Tim. Hang a second. It's one thing that drives me crazy. People smoke pot every day, and people go, oh, my God, oh, my God. Yeah, if the guy was, or let's say that person gets cancer and has nausea and pain, and their pot helps their pain.
Yeah, that's fine.
And they don't want to stop smoking, and they're going to die in a couple years. Smoke the pot.
Right, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, we have this problem in America where other people want to control what other people do. And it's just, I don't know, that's puritanical Calvinist thinking. It's still...
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. Tim, 17.
I have a question for Rob.
Yo.
Hey, Rob. I was just wondering, I saw you a little while ago on, I think it was WWE.
Speaking of pot.
And I saw you doing some stuff with that, and I just thought it was so funny and random.
Maybe.
I was just wondering how you got
Randy Savage.
Involved with that.
Jack Giraputo got me to do that. He's a producer on movies that I work on.
And he just called you and said, I need you to do something for me?
Come on, go on WWE. It'll be fun. You'll have fun. And I said, all right, I'll do it. And it was fun, actually. It's wrestling, and you get kind of crazy.
Did you have to train for it?
No. I just got in the ring, and I was just saying some stuff, and I saw there's some contest of these girls beating each other up, and I just jumped in there and started throwing these girls around. And it was really, actually.
How could that be? That wasn't where you gained your predilection towards massage and the tuk guy and all that.
I know. Well, I don't think so. But I just threw a couple of girls around. It looked fun. It was fun. I'm glad I did it.
Where was that?
It was back east, some Indian reservation.
And was it like pay-per-view kind of thing?
WWE. I think it was. Like, it was Super Wrestling 27 or something.
That must have been fun.
It was fun. It was good.
Mike, 20.
Hello?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. What's up?
Hey, I have this question.
it seems like whenever I just, like, kind of hook up with a random girl or when I just get into a relationship with her, when we have sex, I can go for an hour, hour and a half. But actually, once we actually get into a relationship, I'm lucky if I can go, you know, 15, 20 minutes.
Wow, let me just put the button there. You're so full of crap. Hour, hour and a half.
Rob is offended. His delicate sensibilities have been truly violated.
Even if it was true, you keep it to yourself. You don't go on the radio and, you know, when I'm with a random chick that I pick up in a bar or a strip club or down the street corner, I last for a year plus change. But when I'm with the girl that I care about, I don't make it inside her. You know, I can't even last long enough to get it in her. But first of all, let's backtrack that. Let's take a zero off of that. Maybe, but there's something if you're with a woman that maybe he's I don't know what.
Yeah,
the
by
hell
the way,
is
an
that?
Hour
is that a real problem?
An hour of sex, you rub your kneecaps off and it's like a pencil sharpener at that point.
It's just an exaggeration, guys. You know, women don't need you to last. It's not about that. At least I hope not.
Be that as it may. The fact is that when you're with a new partner and when you're with somebody you don't know, it's uncomfortable. It's anxiety-provoking.
Sure, yeah.
Makes you a little nervous. And so anxiety and nervousness makes you not function as well sexually.
You take your clothes off. You don't know what you're going to have down there with, you know, is she shaved? Is she not shaved? What is it, you know?
Just make notes of
a guy?
The kinds of things that Rob focuses on. We learn a tremendous amount about our guests this way.
And whereas if you're with a girl, you know you're going to get sex and you've been thinking about it. Also, you're out with the girl, you're not 100% sure it's going to happen if it's a first, you know.
If she's shaved, does that mean she's been with somebody else?
Well, hopefully. Hopefully, and he's going to talk her into it. Yes, wonderfully. No, but here's the deal. You know, if you're with a girl that you're in a relationship with, you know you're going to have sex or you've been thinking about it, yeah, your chances are that's why you're not...
Right, it makes you nervous. And once you settle into rhythm, you're comfortable with that person. Now, by the way, when you feel nervous, sometimes people last longer, sometimes they last shorter.
Yeah.
It can make people go off more quickly. So it's hard to predict how it's going to affect a given individual. But just know that being nervous makes sexual functioning not so good.
I put this in the category of not a real
problem. Not a real problem. Mike. I'm with you on that, too. So anyway, Rob Schneider is our guest here tonight. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. The more you call, the more we learn about Rob. So call
you
him,
can do it.
Call him with your
call up.
Call him with your questions.
With your sick sexual stuff, and we'll talk about them
in just a minute.
Yeah, Love Line.
Love Line will be right back.
Us at Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191. Rob Schneider in here with us. Great Rob Schneider.
Thank you, sir. Our last caller was a liar saying he has sex for an hour and a half. Yeah. Women don't really want to have sex for an hour and a half, the average woman. I mean, there's maybe the one who does. But, you know, they may say they want to, you know, F you all night, but they're just talking dirty, hopefully.
Right. More than about 10 minutes is what?
It's, like, painful.
Ouch, absolutely.
Get off of me. What's wrong with you?
Aren't you done yet?
Aren't you attracted to me? Ew, you take care of that. What's your problem? Ew.
Here's Mark.
You're gross.
17.
You had your chance, mister.
Hello.
It was a little bit too cathartic, Rob. You're scaring me a little bit. It's a little accurate, a little close to home. Mark.
What's up, Mark? What's up, man?
Not much.
We're going from the guy that can't ejaculate to Johnny Cash here.
What's up, brother? What's up, man?
Okay. So when I was younger, I was raped, and that's how I lost my virginity to an older girl.
Wow. Come on, not true.
Oh, true story. I swear on my mother's grave.
How old were you?
I was 12.
Why do you call that raped? I would call that rescued. I would have said, thank God. Oh, my God.
How old was she and how did she pull this off?
Yeah, yeah. How were you raped?
13, 14. And,
oh, yeah, yeah. She was easily over to power a defenseless 12-year-old. She's 13.
Yeah. My question is it okay to use the line that I was raped for when I lost my virginity to get a girl to sleep with me?
Wow.
Did he get raped? Did she use a splint?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. I really, before we call him out, let's just
Let me hear the whole rape story.
How did she pull this off?
By some hot girl.
All right, I was over at her house.
Uh-huh.
We were wrestling and
sure.
She She stuck her hand on my pants, and I was like, what are you doing? She's like, just go.
What are you doing?
Like,
get off me.
I don't really want to do this. And she's like, just do it. I was like, I don't. And then,
how dare you, you hot girl, touch my penis, my hard penis. How dare you, you hot girl.
And then
what happened? So you weren't raped. She just had sex with you, even if this ever happened.
No. Well, yeah.
You said, no, get off me, please.
I didn't want to do it, but I
didn't want to do it.
Did you ejaculate?
Yes.
Wow, what an awful experience.
Well, at 12, you know, actually, if you look at the data on 12-year-olds with older women, 12-year-old males, older women,
yeah,
their outcomes are not good. They tend to have more depression, more suicide, more antisocial
behavior. I don't know. My outcome isn't that great, and I would have loved that to happen to me.
Right. And so it depends on the male. It depends on the circumstance. I mean, most of that is referencing people that are with, like, their teachers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
It really isn't rape so much as sexual assault.
This is like somebody basically his own age, if this ever happened at all.
And here's the deal. He's using it now to perpetrate, you know.
Does it work when you tell the girl, hey, I was raped at 12. What do you say we reenact it? I don't understand. How does that work, Mark?
Well, no, I don't really like tell her that, you know, I was raped in that way. In a conversation,
good, right,
when I'm like trying to have sex with her, pick her up.
Oh,
how
old are you now?
She asked me if I've ever had sex before, and I'll be like, well, yeah, when I was younger, I was raped. And she's like, oh, and she does the whole sympathy thing, and then it actually has worked on a couple girls.
Hey, you know what?
Whatever. God,
I don't know. You know what? It's just such... Guys will do anything to get laid.
Yes.
And, you know, that obviously wasn't such a scarring experience as if he's using it now.
Right.
He thinks it's exciting to other girls.
Right. So, whatever.
Loser.
Scott, 21.
I have a question.
Sounds like the same guy.
Pretty close, huh?
No.
What's up there, Scott?
Well, when I was 12, a bunch of my friends were older and they were all going through puberty and I wasn't, and I was trying to figure out why. And I tried to experiment with, a friend's little sister.
How little was she?
She was 5.
Who? And what do you mean experiment?
Like, nothing ever actually happened, but I sort of attempted to just, like, I don't even know where I was going with it, but I got caught by her mother, and fortunately she was, like, she saved me from all that, and she was really...
Right, first of all, this whole puberty thing, human brains are amazing. The things we think have very often very little to do with what's motivating us and what's actually going on.
Yeah.
You were perpetrating child abuse on another child. In your brain, it was like to figure out whether there was puberty here.
Yeah,
or not.
You're justifying it by other people that were in the other room.
And the fact is, though, you were perpetrating something pretty horrible here, which suggests also
that
it happened
to you.
Right.
Right.
So what has happened to you? Parents?
Which is weird because I've listened to this show for years, and I would try to ask myself that same question, and nothing. Like, I had close to the perfect childhood.
Oh, wow.
My parents. That's
bad. When anybody says they had a perfect childhood, well, yeah, my parents were divorced.
No.
My dad tried to rape me until I was 9. We had a perfectly picture-perfect childhood there. No, so what? Your parents divorced?
No, they're together, and they were always really open with me about everything. And
did you see a lot of pornography or something when you were a kid?
I was exposed. No, not so much pornography, but Playboy.
Playboy not so much.
It's
probably not.
Penthouse,
yes. Sex was never a shameful thing.
Don't buy that BS either. Seeing explicit sexual images as a child can be problematic.
Yeah.
It's not, we're just liberated. We let the kids see this natural act.
We let them see everything.
No.
Him. We're open.
Those tend to be people.
We want them to see these things.
That's a cause of sexual compulsion. And if it's really explicit what you're looking at, you may then do what you did. Thank God, yes, you actually didn't do anything to this kid. Is that right?
No, yeah.
I hope not.
Now, what else? Has there something similar happened to you?
Well, no.
Have you ever tried to do something else to somebody else?
No.
All right. What's your question?
Now, I've been in 2 long relationships that I'm not in anymore, but both girls were sexually, molested. Mm. And
Isn't that interesting?
I've been single for like a year, and I know listening to this show that, you know, girls who go through that find people, you know,
they find
it.
Perpetrators.
Right.
Sure.
They find perpetrators, and maybe Scott was one. Perpetrator light. Let's be fair. Yeah. Perpetrator light, but nonetheless perpetrator.
So what's your question?
So how do I fix this?
Are there other problems? Are you sexually compulsive? Do you have trouble with the relationships or boundaries?
Is there a ton of porno that you watch on a weekly basis?
No.
No, or otherwise daily basis.
Otherwise functioning well. Is that right?
Do you look at porn every day?
Almost every day.
From way downtown, from 30 feet.
Well, good shot. Well, let's find out what kind of porn.
Okay, well, yeah, what kind of porn are you looking at? Are you looking at barely legal or barely 12? What kind of porn are you looking at?
No younger, any of that. Just
regular, straight, old, American-loving, I'm an American Republican, and I love my porn, and I have a right to my pornography, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to... well, you see, here is one of the things where he has some issues from his childhood.
We don't really know what they are because he's
however,
not clear about
but he's got some.
Something's going on.
I think more happened than what he's.
I think you're right.
I think he is. The mother came in before it got really, really, really bad.
But plenty of touching went on before.
But
that.
Some stuff happened, and enough happened where it actually had some trauma, and it stayed with him. And I think that there is something that some connective mental tissue that kind of. works his way to these other girls who have these problems. So
yeah,
obviously,
it's interesting.
And he's fixated with porn, and he watches it every day.
Right, I agree. There's smoke here, at least. So, Scott, there's a Del Amo Treatment Center out in Hawthorne. Del Amo Hospital has a specialized program in treating with sexual compulsions. It'd be nice to get evaluated to see if you're, you know, prone to problems. You want
to
know.
You're obviously interested. In you're insightful. You can maybe get control of it.
Let's
you're always
going to
be a weirdo, but maybe you get a handle on it.
Anna, 22. Yeah. What's going on?
Hi, Anna.
I have a question for you guys.
Good, Anna. What's going on over there?
Well, it seems like a lot of guys that I meet are cheap. And I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, my approach.
Well, hold on. Slow down now. What do you mean cheap?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll go out on a date with a guy, whatever. Uh-huh. And it's like, I'll see a cute little shirt or something. And I'll go ahead like, oh, this shirt is cute. Why don't you get it for me? You want to buy it for me? And then all of a sudden, it's like they'll buy it or either they'll like, oh, I thought you were going to buy it. And it's like, oh, you know, it's always something. Or it's like the date will like end after that.
And then the date after that, what?
How much do these shirts cost?
Like, after that date, it seemed like,
maybe they can't afford anything after that. How much do the shirts cost?
Yeah. Okay.
After the first date, it's like usually I feel like they're too cheap, and I won't call them, or either they'll be really good looking, and it's like I won't hear from
them. All right,
hold on. Wait, whoa. Can I just say something, Anna?
Sure.
Why the hell do you think it's okay to get guys to buy you stuff when you're first going out with them? What the heck are you thinking of?
Well, you know what? I don't know. That's what I'm asking you, because like when I grew up, my mother always told me, you know, hey, don't be afraid to put it out there. You're a beautiful girl. You can get anything you want. And in previous relationships, I pretty much gave to, like, to the boyfriends that I used to be with.
What would you give them?
What do you mean, Greg? Yeah, give what?
No, you didn't, babe. What'd you give him?
You bought the T-shirt?
What you gonna give him? Why don't you want to buy me that shirt? Well, I thought we know each other for an hour.
No, actually, I'm not like that. I'm really sweet about it.
But you're still trying to get these guys to spend money.
What did you give them before?
Well, I used to I let the last guy I was with, I let him stay with me for 4 years, you know, for free. Didn't have to pay any rent. You know,
that's great.
He was a big fan of
He sounds like a winner, Anna.
One of the great things about human beings is that they usually sit on both sides of a coin. In other words, they're either abuser and victim, or in her case, exploiter and exploited.
She let some loser guy live with her for 4 years without giving him a nickel. And then the first guy who might be a decent guy, she's with him for 5 minutes on Melrose, and he's not buying her some lousy new skanky shirt. He is weird.
Yeah. What do you think he's thinking when he's buying that shirt, too, by the way?
He's thinking he's buying sex.
Right.
I'm going to get a piece of her.
Anna, do you understand that? That's sort of how males think?
My question is, like, I want a good guy, a good quality guy, but how do I get him and keep him at the same time, get him to buy me and treat me, you know?
Okay, you know, first of all, okay, Anna, when you're thinking of a good quality guy, the first word you say is buy me. Know, how can I get like a good quality guy to buy me some stuff? I mean, if he's a good quality guy, I mean, he's going to be buying me T-shirts and pants and slacks and shoes and socks. And maybe, I don't know, an overcoat. It's been raining a lot recently in L.A. You know, the Santa Ana winds come in. It's kind of cold. I need a good guy who's going to buy me something, maybe color my hair, maybe take a bikini, you know, shave down there so I'm nice and smooth for the next guy who doesn't want to buy me.
Getting a theme going here tonight, Rob.
But anyway, so here's the thing. How do I get the good guy to buy me stuff? I don't know. I mean, that sounds like almost direct. That's indirect prostitution, Anna.
So why doesn't she focus on what? Just
What is a good guy? I mean, like, you know what? The conversation you can have with your mother and like, you know, you're
mom
a good
gave
girl.
You, some bad
you
ideas.
Gotta put it out there, babe. If you want a T-shirt, you get a T-shirt. If he doesn't, he's not the good guy. You know, how about a good guy who's a guy who's maybe has a future and has a career and is interested in you more than just for trading you sex for a T-shirt.
And here's how he's going to be interested in you. Obviously, you're an attractive one. She's got to be hot, right? Just to be thinking this way.
Well, she's got to, yeah,
but she needs
something.
She needs to have something else to offer. She needs to, like, have a, you know, yeah, a skill just, or profession, something interesting about her. And then, by the way, lots of interesting guys and good guys, not cheap guys, will be interested in you at that point. And by the way, also, when you go out on these dates, don't buy anything for anybody. Spend time talking to that person.
And get,
that's the idea of a date.
You know how you get a good guy? If you're having a really good life and making something of your life,
right,
then they're going to attract
that's
good guys.
Exactly right. You got that, Anna?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Just don't think of guys. Just you don't need a guy to be fulfilled. You don't have to have guys see you just as what you are physically. You need something more because you can only attract a certain kind of guy unless you've got something much more to offer.
Or you can also just get another guy to live in your house for 4 years.
Another loser.
Anything.
You can have more losers. Losers are around. There are lots of losers. Lots of losers. It's good. My goodness. Another satisfied customer. Betsy is 23.
Hi, Betsy.
Hi.
Can I buy you a T-shirt? What's up, Betsy? Where
sound
are you?
Depressed, Betsy.
Yes, I'm depressed.
Why? What's going on?
Well, I've been with this guy for 2 years, and I
sounds just
I had
like
a baby
Anna from LA.
Exactly, it's Anna again.
Everyone sounds the same. Anyway, I've been with this guy for 2 years. So what's going on?
And the thing is that
I love Puerto Rico, by the way, Betsy.
Huh?
I love Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic, wherever you're from.
I'm Puerto Rican.
I love
she's
you.
She's in New Hampshire. Can't
okay,
be
so go ahead. There's not a lot of Puerto Ricans in New Hampshire.
No.
It's cold up here.
I know.
Not freezing. I don't like
there
it.
There may not be a lot of Puerto Ricans. There are no Mexicans.
Yeah. Mexicans don't make it up that day. They,
did I just hear a smoke alarm go off in the background? I think I heard a smoke alarm. Let me just time that out. Did you hear that little beep?
I did.
Yeah. What that is her, you know, the 9-volt battery is out in her smoke alarm, smoke detector.
You're
good. Are you standing near a smoke detector, Betsy?
No.
There's no smoke detector near you. What room are you in?
You were good.
No, I'm talking in the living room right now.
Living room.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your desk?
Wait, hold on. Okay. You don't see a smoke detector somewhere on the ceiling or on the wall there?
Oh, yeah, there is.
Why don't you go stand by that for me? Just kind of stand right by it. No, I'm serious. Go stand right by it.
Hey.
You hear it?
Wow.
Now, how long has that thing been chirping at you?
Oh, it does. I don't know. Well, I haven't changed the battery.
Well, at least you know it needs a new battery.
Yeah.
That's good. See, a reptile couldn't live in that room with that thing chirping without doing something like chewing the thing off the wall. And Betsy here has been living with that for how long, chirping like that?
Well, since I've been living here.
Fantastic. Yeah, how many years has that been?
You know what, Betsy?
For a year?
For a year, yeah.
How about you just take that thing, just twist it off the ceiling there and put the new 9-volt vat. Oh, there it is again.
Or just throw it away. Hey, Betsy, here's another good idea. You know what's another good idea? Here's what you could do, Betsy. You can get a guy who cares about you. He's a good guy and can buy you a 9-volt battery. You know, maybe a T-shirt. Get you a new clock radio or something like that. Maybe, I don't know, buy you some kind of other batteries for whatever you want. Or, I don't know, a haircut, whatever. If you're a good girl, you know, you got it coming to you. So what's your problem? Besides the fact that you're going to burn in a fiery blaze.
I wish my boyfriend had a good battery.
Well, what's going on?
He says that he's always dead. Because the thing is, I always put lingerie on for him. And, like, dance for him and do everything for him. And every time I turn my back, he's, like, asleep.
Is he on drugs? Is he working?
Does he work at FedEx? Does he have the night shift at FedEx?
He works too much. So he, like, I feel like he never had times for me.
Okay, now, do you have otherwise
times for her?
Yeah, well, he should at least have one time for you. I don't know if any guy has times for you. I mean, I don't know. I've only got one time for my lady.
I think he's kind of not into it right now, wouldn't you say?
Do you guys love each other? Do you have a good relationship other than the fact that he's falling asleep when you're trying to be sexual or what?
Well, the thing is, like, every time he does that,
how do you live in that house?
I always break up with him.
Okay, can I ask, tell you something?
Sure.
Why don't you, if you like this guy and if he likes you, whatever, we try to find some special time together, whether it's one day a week, whether it's between your beeping fire alarm going off or whatever.
That's probably just, what sends him into hypnotic trance.
Beep. But like,
I feel tired. I don't know what your problem is, Betsy.
I'm the guy in the relationship.
Well, you know what? Look, if he's not into it, then get out of it.
And by the way, if you're not into it, get out of it.
If you're not getting it, but otherwise, try to make some special time with each other. And if you guys don't want to do that, if he doesn't want to do it, then get out.
I agree. Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. The one and only Rob Schneider, just doling out the
just
insightful advice. He's here. We have lots of good calls lined up, and we'll be right back.
Excuse me?
Loveline's coming back in a minute.
Yo, don't go nowhere.
More love line right to the calls. This is Tamara, who is 20. Tamara.
Hi, Tammy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
You're on with Rob Schneider.
What's up, Tammy?
Okay, so my question is, hey, honey, I'm on love line. Anyway, sorry. My question is, me and my boyfriend were talking the other night about clit piercings.
Nice.
Yeah, like, well, sure.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, I mean, what did that come up when, at the Burger King in the parking lot?
It came up in bed talking
Church.
One night.
Church.
Yeah, you what came up it? In bed.
Yeah, I came up. We were like laying in bed, just kind of talking about like things
clit
in our
rings.
Sex life and things we could change and do.
Sure, right.
And,
well, what else were you discussing?
It kind of came up, and it's something I've thought about before. And he asked.
Hold
me
on, hold on, slow down here.
Well, yeah.
What were the other things you thought you might change and do to improve your sex life?
I don't know. Just like more sex. Cause I'm all stressed out with school and stuff, so we haven't been doing it so often lately. So I was like, I don't know, just stuff like that. And I thought just ways to get more stuff. Like we've used toys, we've used stuff like that before. So
okay, all right.
Just kind of stepping. I'm just curious if there's health risks. Like, I guess I'm nervous about it more.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
Of course.
There's definitely you could get infected down there.
Yep.
You're putting the hole on your clit. What don't you realize? You're piercing something that shouldn't be pierced. But, you know, if you want to do that.
It's a good policy to keep sharp objects away from your genitalia.
Or any.
Just generally speaking.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Sandpaper. Why don't you say, hey, honey, instead of getting a clit ring, why don't I just sandpaper your nutsack? Can I just do that for a while? For an hour?
The other thing, Tamara, I'm concerned with is that when women get this, sometimes they go through a period of hypersensitivity, and then there's sort of a desensitization that follows.
Yeah, I mean, what if all of a sudden it doesn't feel good anymore? Does it feel good right now?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then what's the issue? I mean, I don't know if it's going to...
I mean, there's no issue. I'm just kind of curious. Like, what health risks are. I've always been interested. I've seen. I was just wondering if it was really as good as people.
I could be curious about jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, some women, so it's a great thing, but more often than not, I hear other complaints that it gets desensitized.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a thing, like, you know, when all these women got their belly button pierced, and like, I don't know, my daughter want to get her belly button pierced, some of my nieces is like, you know, I don't know. I mean, just it's a trendy little thing. This is a little grosser.
When you get real aggressive piercing, genitalia piercing, usually it means some kind of, in my experience, it's usually physical abuse in childhood. Somebody hit you with an object. No one ever struck you growing up?
No.
No?
Mm-hmm.
You could be just really extremely bored.
And I guess there also is a difference between people thinking about doing this and actually doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she hasn't done it yet.
Yeah.
I haven't done it. It just kind of came up in conversation. It's kind of something I was thinking about. So I was like, well, maybe I'll see what health risks are out there.
Do you think does your boyfriend say it would be sexy? That's probably why she's thinking about doing it.
Did he say it would be sexy?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mark, why do you want me to do it?
Oh, why do you want me to do
right
it?
Next to me.
Was it his suggestion?
He had asked me if I ever thought about it, and I had.
All right.
Oh,
all
this
right.
is not your thing, then. No.
All right, okay.
Did he bring up the anal sex thing? Is he interested in anal sex also?
Has he what?
Has he asked for the threesome yet? Because that's coming next. It's
no,
right in the order.
Not yet.
How about anal sex? He asked for that?
He's talked about that before.
There you go. That's that guy,
Hello.
Tamara. We know who your boyfriend is, exactly.
Yes.
Now he's going to hold back on the threesome thing, even though it's in a huge thought bubble over his head.
No,
all the
it's going to keep happening. You know what I think? I think you can get that thing pierced.
No, it's like, hey, Susie's really hot, Tamara, your good friend. Don't you think she's attractive?
Yeah, I mean, we got to take this up a little bit, the three of us.
Oh, man, guys are just so great, aren't they?
Yeah, he really cares about you, Tamara.
Stella.
He loves
Stella
you for
17.
You.
Stella.
What's up, Stella?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, I love you, Rob Schneider and Dr. Drew. You're a genius.
God bless you, Stella. What's going on?
Why can't you love Dr. Drew and say I'm a genius?
I prefer that. We always what we can't have. So switch it around, Stella, all right?
So what's going on, Stella, California?
Yeah, I have a question about this weird fetish that I have.
Wow.
It's like, I don't know. I have a thing with, like, creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, I would like it if someone raped me or something.
Oh, wow. That's unusual.
So you like to be overpowered when you're... Are you sexually active now?
Have you been having sex?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm not like sleep around or anything. It's like I'm with one person.
Okay. And you wish he would sort of...
He would rape you or just some guy you don't know?
I just think it'd be exciting if, like, I was.
If you were
by him or by someone you don't know?
Like, by someone I don't know.
Wow.
Here's what I promise. It wouldn't be exciting if that actually happened to you.
Yeah.
Secondly, if you've ever felt powerless at any other time in your life, sometimes that becomes a source of sexual arousal now as you're hitting 17,
18.
And
let me tell you something else. Women who are raped, sometimes it can ruin their entire life.
That's true. You get a lot of post-traumatic stress. You can feel bad about men. It can be very difficult to be close to people.
Turn you off to your sexuality. So I think
more likely what this is, Stella, if you've not been traumatized previously in your life, it's that you need to feel powerless in order to be sexual because you don't like to sort of incorporate that part of yourself. And if you're out of control and you have to be sexual, then you can express it. So you're 17. Just go slow. Go slow.
Yeah. I mean, I'd wait till 19 to want to be forcibly raped if I was.
Yeah, rapes usually start at 19. Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, will be out on DVD Tuesday, November 29th. You know Rob Schneider from all the Deuce Bigelow films, The Hot Chick, 51st Date. He's got a new film, which was tested tonight, tested well, Benchwarmers. And we're going to be back just after this break.
Woo!
Rob Lane will be right back.
Love Lane will be right back.
That's right. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. The one and only Rob Schneider is in with us
Dr.
tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Drew. It continues to be. It has been interesting, but hopefully we're going to get more interesting this next time.
You grew up in San Francisco, right?
Yeah. Very open up there. Very open. Very.
That's why you're so liberal. So interested in all these different experimentations.
Why not?
Life is short.
Yeah, well, I spent a little bit of time in San Francisco State. Not a lot, but, you know, all my heroes there were, all the professors and the people in the drama department were gay. And there's like all my heroes, all these great people were gay. So I've always had a very open-minded, you know, I was very lucky to be in a very progressive area of the country.
At that time, I'm going to ask you a hard question.
Yeah.
Were people being encouraged to explore same-sex kinds of unions?
No, not me. But no, with the same encouraged. I will say this. In my high school I grew up, because I grew up in the Bay Area, I would say it was more likely. I'm saying it was more lesbians or more gay kids. It was more of a possibility for somebody to come out
more open
and to be
it.
Earlier, whereas maybe in Massachusetts or some parts of Massachusetts or like in Kansas City, they would be less likely to.
The one piece of data that keeps coming up about young people's behaviors right now is that the girl-on-girl stuff is going up dramatically.
Well, you know, they should videotape and send it.
Rob Schneider, care of Q. All right.
Well, why is that, though?
I don't know why. Well,
I'm sorry, I just did a little Christopher Walken. Why is that? I don't know. It's weird. I like it. I think about it all the time. It's wild. No, but what is that? I think
most girls do it to attract males.
Yeah, well, because they know it's a turn on to guys.
Yes.
Okay. And also, I just think it's you know what? It sounds like it's a cliche to say, but it's a trendy thing.
It is trendy. You know? On the other hand, women are very flexible with these things, and men, young
Thank
men, are
God.
Pretty disappointing.
Yeah. It is true. I mean, it's guys are men are basically retarded until they're like about maybe
48.
My age.
Yeah.
How old am I?
Speaking of that, here's Lindsay, who's 25.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hey.
You're on with Rob Schneider.
Hi, sweetheart.
Hi.
From San Diego, really?
Uh-huh.
Hey, what's going on?
I have a question. I was looking at my boyfriend's computer, and then I noticed, like, some porn websites, and I didn't really care, but then I kind of looked, and they're all, like, all the ones that he looks at, they're, like, fat girl porns. And I'm not fat.
And you're not, well... Well, maybe that's the reason he's interested.
Okay.
Have you thought about... Listen, let me ask you something. Is there a donut shop close by where you live?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what kind do you like?
Old fashioned.
Because let me tell you, the sprinkled kinds, the double chocolate,
yeah,
those are going to get you... That's going to get you fat quick.
Krispy Kreme now, too.
Krispy Kreme. Yeah, Krispy Kreme's actually tastes good.
But I don't want to get fat. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know where you were going, Lindsay.
Lindsay, first of all, God bless you for being sort of nonplussed, unshaken by the fact that he looks at porn. You know,
yeah,
so
that
she's
was good.
Very at ease with that.
I would say this. I'm saying it. She's just saying it because she's on the radio, where she would be a little weirded out by it. But anyway.
Well, she's weirded out by the fat girl thing.
The fat girl thing. Now, why does that weird you out? Does it weird you out that you think he's into fat girls?
Yeah.
Or do you, what is it? Tell me.
It's confusing.
I would say... Go ahead, Lindsay. What's that?
And I think he masturbates a lot.
All right. Now, let me ask you something.
She's a very liberated young woman. It's just, yeah, just whatever. That's what he's into.
So what, did you talk to him about this?
Uh-huh. He likes fat girls, he said.
He likes fat girls.
Seriously? That's what he wants to have.
Black?
Anderson had a question.
Is he an African-American?
No.
Okay, now let me ask you something else, though. Did you ask him, would you rather be with a fat girl than me?
Yeah, and he says no.
Okay, all right. Well, then he's not insane.
Did he say I?
His last girlfriend was really fat.
Ah,
weird.
Wow. Okay. Well, then maybe.
Skinny.
Huh?
He's really skinny.
Right. Well, you know what?
Jack Frat could eat no fat. Jack Sprat, whatever.
You know, there is, not a lot you can do about this.
But let's sort of back it off a little bit and say that. There's a difference between what guys want in a girlfriend and what they look at in pornography sometimes. Wouldn't
True
you say?
That
the visual images, in order to be highly arousing, may need to be exaggerated for men sometimes.
And also, you know, it just is some sort of outlet for him since he's a chronic masturbator.
Which is a different
thing. You know, and so it's like, do you ask him, does he think about you when he's pleasuring himself?
When does that happen?
Well, I don't ask because...
He'll lie and say yes. Trying to help him out. What's
maybe,
that?
Maybe Lindsay's mom's fat and he thinks perhaps she'll become fat.
No, well, the other thing is that
Anderson, you're diabolical.
Yeah, that was brutal. Huh? What's that?
He likes masturbating or like dry humping more than sex. And he's...
Sounds like a winner, this guy.
He lasts a long time.
Like, how do you...
Maybe like 5 minutes or something. He has like premature ejaculation, I think.
How do you not leave this guy? I mean, he's got so many things going for him. He loves fat women. He's a chronic masturbator, and he's horrible in bed. I mean, how do you walk away from a guy who's this kind of gold? I mean, does he have a good job there, Lindsay?
No.
All right. What does he do?
Another plus.
Remind me which Starbucks to not go to.
He's a student.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Lindsay, aim a little higher. How about just a chronic masturbator, not a chronic masturbator who's chronically masturbating at fat porn
and who doesn't like to have sex
and who maybe can last more than 30 seconds.
I don't know, Lindsay. It's all a little suspicious. I know.
Well, why do you like this guy? I mean, I'm kind of. I know there's some great qualities you've mentioned, but what is it? What is it that attracted you to him?
I don't know. I don't know. I just really like him. I mean, I don't know. I never like the stereotypical like hot whatever guys like. I just like
You know what? You like losers. No, Lindsay likes dorky losers.
That sums it up.
Chronic masturbating dorky loser. Why couldn't I meet a Lindsay when I was in high school?
When you were chronic masturbating dorky loser.
When I was chronically masturbating to fat porn. Why couldn't I?
Yeah, Lindsay, I don't. What do you want from us? You like this guy?
You like him. You seem like you got what you wanted.
Yeah, there's nothing we can do to talk you out of this.
Let us know how that works out.
There may be more fulfilling ways to go through life.
I see some very
just saying
some very happy children in your future.
Just saying.
Chronic masturbating. Hello,
Michelle, 26. You're on with Rob Schneider.
Hi, babe.
Hi, I'm great to be on here, and I'm glad I'm listening to the show tonight because you guys have had some interesting calls.
Indeed, we have.
Last night was better, but go ahead.
Actually, yeah, last night was better. I commute, so.
I don't know. Okay, what's going on? I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know you want me to get to the question. When I'm having sex, I orgasm usually about 8-9 times. And I want to know if actually that's going to be detrimental in the long run.
Yeah, if the guy ever goes out with somebody else.
Yeah, you'll kill him. He'll kill himself. Oh, my God, I'm over. I can't do it anymore. My last girlfriend, she went off all the time.
Yeah, you're one of those women that will have the multiples, not just sequential. No, some women could have 20, 30, even 40.
Yeah, but they're not killers, though. Basically, the one, if you go out, you're going to have little tiny orgasms, but if they add it up to one killer, right? You know, is that what I'm saying? They're small orgasms, right?
No, actually, usually I have three really big ones. And
yeah. Me too.
And how long does it take you to have the first one?
Depending upon what he's doing, if it's oral or hand, really quick. If it's just intercourse for the first one, it takes me a little bit longer.
So it is kind of more of the sequential picture here.
Yeah, well, okay. You're very orgasmic. You're easily turned on.
There are women that even go above this.
Yeah, you probably should go on motorcycle rides and go horseback riding for hours and go to the beach. And
yeah, having a multiple orgasm is something that's biologically in you.
Yeah.
And it's nothing that you can sort of wear out.
I don't know. What would you rather there, Michelle? I mean, not having multiple orgasms or no orgasms?
Well, no, multiples, I have to say. Okay. Like, the first time I ever had sex with a guy, I had no orgasms, and that sucked.
Well, that's usual. That's pretty constant.
Yeah, that's...
For the women, it's up with Dr. Drew and I.
Right. Young males are pretty much clueless.
Well, you sound okay. I mean, is you worried about long-term health with sensitivity? No.
Yeah, I'm just worried about sensitivity because after a full, 30, 40-minute session with the foreplay and everything, by the end... particularly, the clitoris is just worn out.
I know. Yeah. Well, the next day you're okay, though, right? You bounce right back, right?
Here's the deal. You may want to avoid using, vibrators and that kind of thing because you seem to have difficulty sort of stopping. You keep going. That could desensitize things. And maybe you want to stop at 6 or 7 instead of 9.
And why don't you try, not touching each other for the first 10 minutes, see what happens.
Jennifer, 26, what's up there?
Hi. I just got a question for Rob.
Hi. What's going on, Jennifer?
Nothing. I think you're really cute and all, but what's wrong with liking fat women?
I said there's nothing wrong with liking fat women. I just think if you're chronically masturbating to fat women...
when you're with a skinny girl.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little odd. It's a little odd.
He was with a fat girl before, and that made sense. And now all of a sudden he's with a skinny girl and masturbating.
Nothing wrong with liking fat chicks.
And
I will say this.
Some guys are really, really into that. They're just they're those guys that just really love the...
I don't like skinny women. I don't like...
Most guys don't, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not... I'm worried about breaking someone. You know, I don't want any bones breaking.
Well, he couldn't break you, could he, Jennifer?
No, you wouldn't.
Well, Jennifer, okay, how big are you, Jennifer?
I am 270.
Woo! Okay.
And I'm 5'6".
5'6". Well, at least you got some height to balance that out.
Yeah.
No, but now, are you... I mean, you feel like that's healthy for you?
That's a good point.
Been a lot of weight. I've had a gastric bypass.
Great.
Okay. Well, the thing is, I would say, if you're healthy, no matter what size you are, whether physically and mentally healthy, then you're all right. But chances are someone who's 5'6 and 270 pounds has some, has some health issues. I mean, you never hear of that 100-year-old 300-pound person. You just don't hear it because...
I have no health issues.
Okay.
You're fat. Well, you will very quickly, as you age, get hypertension and diabetes. That's pretty much predictable when you...
And high blood pressure, and then maybe you're...
losing the weight.
Good. No, it's all great.
Well,
that is good. Excellent.
That is good.
Excellent.
But let me tell you, you're feeling better about yourself now that you're losing some weight, though?
Oh, absolutely. I've always felt good about myself. I just knew it wasn't healthy to be at a certain weight.
Perfect.
So I've been losing it.
Well, nothing wrong. And you're going to find some guy out there who can chronically masturbate you, I guarantee you. Now, can we just talk about this stuff, though, now? Gastric bypass. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not the 100% answer for this thing because you can't, you're dealing with your stomach, it's the size of a walnut plus, right?
Yeah, it's a complicated question.
Yeah.
The fact is...
No that, answer.
Well, here's the facts currently, is that when you look at people that are dangerously overweight or have morbid obesity...
it's better to have that.
They never lose it.
Okay.
That's just statistically, they just don't. Now, I watched The Biggest Loser tonight. And it was very inspiring with the way they presented what they did there.
Yeah.
But these people had to set aside 4 months of their life and really,
And most
really,
people aren't going to do that.
Most people can't do that or don't know how to. They're unable to do that or don't have resources for that. But maybe that's an intervention. That's one possibility. Now, what's going to happen soon is a lot of people with this kind of obesity, it's a genetically determined thing. It's something that's just in their genes. And it has often something to do with the way the hormones in the body works in terms of the relationship between the stomach and the brain. And there's something called leptin. There's various other hormones that mediate hunger that they're going to have blocking agents for soon. Well, so there may be ways to sort of get the weight off these people.
I'd say that's partly the problem. The other problem is there's a lot of crap out there that you can eat that has zero, has a ton of sugar and crap in there that just doesn't have any value in nutrients. And so you're basically starving, but you're still eating and still eating and eating, but you feel like you're starving. Anyway.
But, you know, if you listen to Jennifer, listen to what size her parents were. Jennifer.
Yes.
How big were your parents?
My parents weren't that big.
They were not that big. Did you have some reason that you were eating excessively? Do you have an eating disorder?
I had a grandmother.
Well, and she forced food on you?
Basically.
Were you ever abused or anything as a kid?
No, never abused.
People just encourage you to eat all the time?
Right. And you know what? The women in my family do tend to be kind of big.
How big?
They usually run about my size.
That was my question.
Mom your size?
Yeah, was mom your size?
No, not at all.
Everybody except mom.
Everybody except my mom.
Interesting.
Okay, well, that's basically
the
question.
Find out what mom did and do the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Mom, what are you eating? I'm over there. I want what mom's on mom's plate.
These are terribly complex questions. And you know, who has a genetic thing versus not? Who has a behavior thing? Who has an abuse thing? Who has a hormone?
A little bit of everything.
There is, you know, there are people under study that actually have these disorders where they can't get full. They just can't. It's a biological process. And so a lot of the studies on these blocking agents are being done on these kinds of guys.
Good Lord.
Here is Mark, who's 21.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew?
Mark, what's happening?
How's it going there, buddy?
Rob Schneider.
Hey, what's up, brother?
How are things in Chino?
Excuse me?
How are things up in Chino?
It's chilling. Pretty good. Chilling. Get something to drink. Hey, I just want to say, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Cool. What's happening?
I got a problem with my girlfriend.
Okay.
She seems to only orgasm when I put something in her anus. She insists on it, too, a lot of the time.
Okay.
And your question is?
We're not stunned.
Excuse me?
We're not shocked, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
What's your question?
What's your question?
Yeah, I was wondering. I don't know if it's healthy. I've been doing it so much.
Yep, that's bogus. Nope, that's bogus.
All right, good.
There you go, Grace, good. 17. Because, by the way, see, it's always bogus when there's no question or should I confront them or
I'm learning.
I was wondering, is it the right thing to do? That's not a question.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Grace, 17.
Hi, Grace.
Oh, she hung up on us, too. How about that?
Oh.
Let's go right on to Bren, who's 22. Bren?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
I love you guys. That's just all I want to say.
Thanks, Bren.
That's it?
You're awesome.
That's what you called to tell us?
No. My question is if I'm normal because when I have sex, I like the guy to choke me and to slap me around and to pull my hair. But, I mean, I've never been abused.
Okay. Any problem? Now, I mean, slapped around, I mean, that's not just the occasional spanking, right? I mean, you like to be, have you been bruised? You ever have to go to work with, like, a big bruise? Or
turtleneck?
Well, my cheeks get really swollen, like my face cheeks.
He slaps you in the face?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, now,
hang on here. What do you mean you've never been abused? What does that mean to you?
I've never been abused, like, by anybody, you know, like...
What does abuse mean? Maybe we're defining sexually, these things differently. Yeah?
Well, sexually.
Uh-huh.
Have your parents, did they ever hit you?
No.
No?
Rob, your parents ever hit you?
Yes!
Okay.
Yeah.
Brian? Yeah, okay.
Okay.
That's where this comes from. Things that are mortifying and terrifying as a child become sources of arousal in adulthood for various reasons. You can sort of think of it as all that abuse, physical abuse, sort of burns out your arousal centers. They don't work as well when you grow up, and you kind of are attracted to that because that is now a source of arousal.
Exactly. But, where do you go from here, though, if you're getting slapped around, beaten around? You like it, though. That's the only way you feel excited?
Yeah, that's right. And, like, sometimes I even ask him, like, to choke me or to just, like, pull my hair really hard, like, to bend my head back and stuff.
Well, you could. That's the good thing about that is it's not dangerous.
Not,
well, nothing bad can happen when you get choked.
Nothing at all.
Or throwing your head back.
You don't need much blood or oxygen to your brain. I mean, what the hell? That's not.
Well, I don't know. I think you got to find something else to like. I think that's just.
And you may want to get this looked into a little bit.
You may need to talk to somebody.
Yeah. Because this is not going to stop here. I suspect.
I don't know if I really liked a woman, and she said to me. Slap me, hit me, please beat me, take that tire iron to my face, please. I'm going to get out of there. I'm going to go, you know what, if I really like you, I would say, you know, you need to go see somebody.
You're going
to
get a little freaked out, too, and go, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that's, you know, if he cared about you. I don't
how
think
about just sort of rough play?
Well, a little bit, I think, would be okay, as long as it's in the safe thing, and they, you know, as long as they had some, like, hey, this is, you know, no, hey, that's too much, something
you
like
pansy.
That.
You know? The problem is that this kind of thing tends to escalate.
Yeah. She's and not going to be happy just with the occasional slap and punch.
Yeah, going there with the red cheeks from swollen cheeks from being smacked. That's
that's a bit
concerning
much.
Here. This is Tony, 24.
Hey, what's up, Dr. Drew? You're a genius.
And you love Rob Schneider.
Rob, making genius too. Copies never gets old, man.
Oh, thanks, man. It's been a few years, man, I'll be honest with you. So what's going on up there, Tony?
I'm from Frisco, and
you're obviously not from Frisco if you say Frisco.
Nobody says that.
No one says that from up there.
Because in LA, people be like San Fran, but here in Frisco, you say Frisco or the Sco.
No, you're obviously from the East Bay because you don't say San Francisco. If you don't say
what
Frisco
do you say?
From San, you say San Francisco. No one who loves San Francisco says Frisco. It's just it's an
all
insult to be. I'm from San Francisco,
Frisco.
Huh?
All the young. Say Frisco all the
okay,
whole
so where do you live? You live in Hayward. Parts. You live in the 510 area code?
I live in the 415. I live in the inner Richmond.
Anyways. What street? What street?
I live on 37th and Terrell.
All right. Maybe he's right. Okay, Frisco.
maybe the new generation, Rob, to come in with some new lingo here, dude. I don't know.
Not a lot of respect, you people in Richmond. Let me tell you that right now. You kids today with your new way you're saying Frisco, I don't like it. So what's your deal? What do you got going on?
It's really easy to frequent the massage parlors, the red light district, prostitutes, all the good.
It is?
Do you wear condom?
Stuff here. Yeah, every time. I don't do anything bareback, but I'm just frequenting this stuff too much, and I'm pretty much going broke.
What do you mean frequent? How often?
Maybe like twice a month.
Twice a month?
It used to be worse, but then I kind of backed off.
When it was at its worst, how often?
I think twice a month. I think this guy's kicking butt. You're doing all right.
At the worst, what was it?
Like five times a month, spending about $160 each time.
Like with every good addiction, multiply times two.
Right.
So, what do you want to know, Tony?
You got it down to twice a month?
Someone said go to SA, but like, what do I do there when I get there? And like, what's that all about?
It's about people like yourself. Do you have any trauma growing up?
Yeah, you know
abuse?
What? There's a reason why you're going to a lot. I mean, you obviously have some issues with women because you're not having. If you're frequenting women, as you say, five times a month, prostitutes, massage parlors, strip clubs, then you have a problem in relationships with women. Obviously, otherwise you're not having normal relations. You could be having normal strip relations, normal massage parlor relations, but you're having difficulty relating to women, and there's a need to want to do this, and it's coming from something in your past. So let's talk about that for a second before we hang up on you. What is the deal? I mean, why are you not having a normal relationship? When was the last normal relationship you had with a woman?
Probably about 6 months ago.
How much?
Six months ago.
Yeah.
I hooked up with some Filipino chick for probably about 5 months, and then I...
Okay, but during that 5 months, you were seeing other strippers, right? And massage parlor things, right?
After like maybe the third month, yeah, I started.
Okay. All right, so you weren't having a deep, meaningful relationship with this Filipino girl you hooked up with. It's probably not this relationship that scarred you for life.
Right. Rob's onto this here, that you're having trouble being close to people, particularly women, and you still have to be sexual, and that's the only way you can sort of feel close is through this sort of exploitation of women.
But it's also safe because they're women at a distance. You don't have to have a real relationship with them. You're just paying them to get what you want, sex, and then you're away.
That's exactly right. It's usually a difficult with proximity and closeness of other minds that make people sort of act out like this. And that's often an abuse history set up. And if you have alcoholism or addiction in your family, then it tends to activate a part of the brain that tends to drive this a little more powerfully than average. So that's what SA is about. People who have your story, your genetic makeup, and you go in there and you'll find a bunch of Tonys there. And they can tell you, they can support you, help you sort of decrease the amount of shame you're feeling about this,
yeah,
and give you some suggestions
realize,
how you can manage
because
this.
Because you're not alone in this, degenerate thing that is encompassing your entire life. However, you don't want to do this forever. You know, there is a reason. You want to have a normal relationship. Find a girl that you can have a relationship with and go see a movie. Don't just try to have sex with her or take her to a strip club and do some
It'll be
weird
hard.
Sort
he'll
of
keep, thing. He'll keep going
but
with the
you
process.
But there's another, you know, there's another level you can probably try to get to. And I would say this. Do get something out of your life because it's another way of like, you know, it's an addiction, and your addiction is a way to avoid things in your life and avoid your problems. And so, hey, whatever you're dealing with, you know, make something of your life, and then the chances are you'll be less likely to do that. But definitely go seek some help.
SA, it's a good program. Check it out. This is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're Loveline. Rob Schneider is the guest host tonight. We're talking to people in Frisco.
Weird people in Frisco.
And we'll be back after this.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
The kind of a mellow night.
One and only Rob Schneider.
Thank you, Doc. It's kind of mellow. Not too crazy tonight.
The calls have been kind of crazy, though, right?
They're a little crazy, but you know, not the energy and the stupidity of last night's calls, which I really enjoy.
We got to have some crescendos and decrescendos.
It is. I guess it's kind of a dip Tuesday, I think. A little bit.
I like this show. I like this show. Kathy, 17.
Hi, Kath.
Hi.
What's going on?
Hi, hon.
Hi. I don't moan when I'm having sex with my boyfriend, and like it's a really big turn on for him, and I want to, but for some reason I keep it in, like thinking.
Why? Well, okay, let me ask. Do you live alone? Do you live at your parents' house?
No, I live alone right now.
At 17, you're moved out of the house?
Yes, I moved. I live with a roommate, but she's never home. She's almost.
Why are you out of the house?
Excuse me?
Why are you out of the house?
Did you graduate high school?
I'm actually still going to high school.
Why aren't you living with your parents?
Because I live with my dad, and my parents are divorced. I live with my dad, and he has a new wife, and we don't get along, so my dad's actually paying for rent and everything.
Well, that sounds like a good compromise there. Ooh. Well, my new wife doesn't like you, honey, so here's a good deal.
Send Kathy
you're gonna
away.
Live, yeah, Kathy, you're going to go live over here by yourself, but don't, for goodness sakes, let's not have loud sex over there, because I'll still be able to hear you. Well, I don't know if that's a good compromise. How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it. I don't think there's any problem with it.
You sound just generally very, I guess, meek, mousy is sort of the word.
Like everything's okay. You let people walk on you.
Right, like you don't want to be heard in general. So it makes sense that when you're in an intimate situation, you still don't want to be heard. You don't want people to take note.
That's interesting.
You know, that's sort of what you feel like, Kathy. And
you want to please everybody, even if it means, you know, Dad, you just go ahead and live with the new wife, and I'll just go live under a bus station.
I'll be quiet.
I'm fine. I've got a cardboard box and some ciggies. I'm good. I got my flip-flops and a tank top. And
ciggies?
Some shorts. I'm good, thanks. I don't know. I'll just borrow money from strangers and have quiet sex in my own place.
Yeah, Kathy, there's nothing we can really say that's going to make you express yourself more openly.
Let me ask you this. If you were able to moan during sex, you think that would make your boyfriend completely happy with you?
Maybe.
Maybe Rob, you ought to give her a little coaching session right now.
Let me tell you this. Here's what I like to hear. Try that. See if I guarantee you. He won't want you to moan anymore. I don't even keep it quiet next time.
Does she have to make that tongue sound at the end, too?
Yeah.
Raspberry sound?
Yeah. Listen, Kathy, just let you know what you get to know. How long you been with this guy?
2 years.
2 years?
How old is he?
Oh, man. How old is he? 30. 19. Well, that's kind of whatever. Hey, look, if he really likes you, that's not a problem. It's not a problem, but your relationship with your father is a problem. It's not okay for him to kick you out of the house because he doesn't get along with his new wife while you're still in high school. That's messed up, and that makes you're letting people walk on you. And, you know, you should see somebody about that, and you shouldn't put up with things that like that. I don't know.
Stephanie's 20.
Hi, Steph.
Hey.
Hey, what's happening?
Say hi.
You're from San Francisco. You're from San Francisco, right?
She's 20.
Yeah, San Francisco.
Okay, you don't say Frisco, right?
No.
Okay, thank God. So what's up?
Okay, so yeah, I went out with this separated guy for about 7 months And recently, he returned with his wife, but to me, he's still been, like, going out with me and, we've still been doing it and stuff.
And what's your question? That's surprising to you?
Why not? Why wouldn't he? Yeah. You're still giving it up.
I mean, I was wondering, like, why would he go back with his wife and still...
Because,
like,
it's safe. Because he can still bang you.
Yeah. Guys will have sex if they're able to.
Yeah, it's not a thing of like, hey, you know what, honey, I can't see anymore. I'm having sex with somebody else. No, it's like a potpourri. It's like, what else do I got? It's a buffet. It's a sexual buffet. Can I put something else on my tray? I'll take that. Let me have this.
Any of you who are sleeping with a married guy, the guy who keeps telling you that he's going to leave his wife, it is never going to happen. And because a male, whatever women are listening to this comment, whenever a man is sleeping with you, it doesn't have anything necessarily to do with how he feels about you. It doesn't mean he loves you just because he's sleeping with you.
Yeah.
He loves his wife. He's committed to his wife. He doesn't want to divorce. It's a whole mishigas when he divorces.
But at the same time,
he wants to have sex with Stephanie.
Why wouldn't he? I mean,
He's already proved himself to be sort of an a-hole.
But you have to ask yourself something. What are you doing with this creepy married guy? Huh?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we still go out to movies. He still takes me out to dinner.
Are you doing dating a married guy? What is wrong with you that you're doing this?
I liked him. I didn't know he was attached.
Okay, when you did know he was married and he said he separated, why was that still okay with you?
Well, because he said it was more than 5 years already.
Huh?
He's a liar. Why are you still sleeping with this guy who's a liar? Why do you think so little of yourself? You're sleeping with this loser liar.
I don't know.
You know, honestly, let's hit the blue button there. I don't feel... It's so hard to feel sorry for women who allow themselves to, like, be manipulated and used in this situation. If she obviously is getting something out of this. And it's like, she's going to continue to meet guys who step on her and use her, and that's just going to be her existence. So she decides to feel, you know,
attracted to unavailable, exploitative men. There you go. Let's stop that.
Loser.
Alex, 16.
What's up, Alex?
Oh, hey.
Yo.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay, I'm reading what it says here. Alex started smoking pot. I'm thinking that the pot's still going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No. Okay, so...
Yeah. What?
When I was in ninth grade.
Yeah.
Smoke herb, like, every day.
You smoke herb like every day. Well, that's a good idea. When you're 14, that's good for your developing brain.
Yeah.
Very good. Get that in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what you're doing, man. you got good parents, too. So what happened then?
So I had a 3.5 then, like GPA.
Yeah.
And then... How many of those were shop classes? How many of those were shop and wood shop? Come
metal.
On, auto shop, metal. What?
Only one.
Okay, all right. At least you got one of there. Okay, so go on.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So then I got caught, and my GPA, I got caught, so I had to stop. And my GPA went down to, like, a 0.2 and then a 1.0 and stuff like that. So I was wondering if it can help with, like...
Well, I'm going to say this as...
grades and stuff.
There's other stuff going on in your life, obviously. I mean, you sound like you're... extremely depressed. You know, you have trouble saying a third word of each of your sentences. So what else is going on in your life?
What are the drugs you're doing besides pot?
I haven't done anything for a while. For a while I was doing shrooms and dust.
Angel dust?
No.
Angel dust?
Well, yeah. it's not the dust that made your grades go bad. Don't blame the dust.
were you huffing also?
Everybody blames the angel dust on their grades going bad. It's never the...
Were you huffing also?
No.
Alex?
Alex.
No,
You sound like a huffer. You sound like you've been doing
huffer.
That.
What's that?
The inhaling hydrocarbons and gas and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Why not? Didn't one of your friends turn you on to that? Your dust buddies. You should be pissed at your dust buddies for not turning you on to the inhalers.
All right, so here's the deal, Alex, that your question says on the board here, they have a question, is pot good for ADD? And it is definitely the case that kids with ADD like pot more than average.
Mm.
And for a short period of time, it may correct some of the ADD symptoms, but ultimately things get a lot worse, as you're finding out. And then when you stop the marijuana, there can be a profound depression that follows. Now, you add to that angel dust, which can affect cognition for sure, and mushrooms, which we believe, although I've never seen a study that shows this, it should affect mood and cognition as well.
Yeah.
So you've been doing a lot of drugs that affects your brain and your brain development. Naturally enough,
you
makes
sound
it very
like a winner, Alex. You sound like you should have gone out with that last girl who likes married chicks.
You need help, Alex, and somebody needs to take you to get some help.
Let me ask you: do you have your parent? Do you live your parents together?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's your relationship like with your dad?
Whatever. He's here.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so you don't get along good with your dad, huh?
I guess not.
All right. No,
you sound so depressed, Alex. Just so depressed. And
like a new ADD medication and like whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let me just tell you something, Alex. It's don't think the answer is going to be in a new kind of drug. It's not going to be like they're going to prescribe something and it's going to be the be all end all. Just like pot wasn't the answer. Just like dust wasn't the answer. They can give you the best new ADD drug that exists in the universe. It's not going to answer your problem. Your problem is you're depressed and you need to talk to somebody who can start to help you organize your thoughts and help you realize where this depression's coming from.
You might try a little 12-step. Sometimes that, if you can tolerate that, again, 16-year-olds, it's difficult to do that kind of work.
Yeah, it's tough.
But definitely you need some professional supervision on this. Lauren, 17.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Rob Schneider. Just wanted to say hi.
Hi.
But, I have a question. I have this sort of unnatural, you could say, obsession with blood.
Mm. Okay.
And
that's hot. That is so hot.
I think so. And
yeah, I know.
That is,
why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't I? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't, for that matter?
No, but
okay, all right. You also have a problem with saying things quickly.
I'm sorry.
That's another thing.
I'm sorry.
Talk a little quicker. Come on, Lauren.
It's been a long day.
All right.
Anyway, my question is this just a phase? Sometimes, though, it's erotic to the point where whether they want it or not, I either need to be cut and have the blood, or I need to scratch them so hard that there needs to be blood.
Lauren's 17. She sounds like a 37-year-old helicopter pilot.
Yeah, that's a little advanced for 17. At 17, I was still just trying to grab the boobies.
What's going on here, Lauren? What?
Where did this? Yeah, how did this start?
I don't know.
But they, like, you have multiple sexual partners. You're very sort of precocious.
She did use the they word, didn't she?
Yeah.
So how many guys are you having sex with?
At the moment, 2.
Okay, so you have multiple partners.
Are they wearing condoms?
Yes.
All right.
That is one thing I insist on.
Excellent.
Good, good. With your multiple partners.
Are you like an emancipated minor? Do you not live at home? You sound like you're, like, again, a nurse in a MASH unit.
I get that a lot. No, I grew up very early.
Why clearly. Why?
Your parents are divorced?
Yes.
Okay.
And what else? The drug addicts?
Mom was a coke addict.
There we go.
And an alcoholic. My dad...
Surprise!
Of course. I mean,
yeah. And your dad was what?
My dad was an alcoholic and was addicted to morphine before I was born.
Beautiful. Okay, that's a beautiful thing.
Well, you lucked out, didn't you? You won the kind of druggy parent Olympics, didn't you? You won the druggy parent of the lottery. Well, look. Now, do you think that you're wanting to cut and scratch and have multiple sex partners at 17 has anything to do with your?
Did you ever see them shooting up or anything?
Not that I remember, though. I've blocked a lot of traumatic experiences.
Like what?
Well, I remember the first time I was raped, but not after that, which does explain the multiple sexual partners and the promiscuosity that I...
I love that word, promiscuosity.
That's not a word, is it?
Are you being
write
treated?
That down.
I
get what it means. I don't know if it's a real word, but I get that you're banging more than one guy.
Have you been treated? You need to,
I was actually in Aurora, the behavioral health center back in December.
Good.
I go there to pick up chicks. I hang out in the parking lot and look mean like I'm going to cut somebody.
Well, by the way, here's what's the problem with our society. The Laurens of the world get sort of singled out. It's just sick. Girls are just into sex. They're just very sexual. They're just into
But Laurens is
a trauma survivor. A trauma survivor who's acting out.
Okay,
and needs
let me just say this. Lauren. Lauren, now you know your parents are messed up. Extremely messed up. Do you do any drugs yourself, ever?
Yes.
What drugs do you do?
MDMA. Occasionally DXM, occasionally ketamines. I smoke weed on occasion, and I stay away from all alcohol, morphine, coke,
This is drug abuser. This isn't addiction, thankfully. This is people that abuse drugs do that combo.
Okay, now...
There's a difference between addiction and abuse.
See, now that's... You know, you're getting close to a woman that I can go out with.
Did they?
Then the multi-sex thing was hot there for a while. But the multi-drug thing, I just lost my boner.
Have they given you a diagnosis, a borderline personality, anything like that?
No, I am starting to think that I am... I have a psychiatrist who has diagnosed me as...
bipolar.
Actually, no, just depressed and antisocial.
Antisocial? Female antisocial?
Wow. I don't know. It sounds like you're antisocial. You're banging every guy on the block. Now, Lauren.
Female antisocial has become criminal.
Doesn't necessarily just mean dislike of people. It can mean the truancy that I had. The fact
that's
that
what I'm. That's what I said. The female antisocial has become.
To a 0.5 GPA when off med.
Female antisocial has become sort of criminals and prostitutes, things like that.
Okay. Now, you're in therapy. Now, but I don't understand why. How can you still be. Doc, help me out here. She's seeing a psychiatrist, but she's still doing the drugs.
Lauren needs a lot of work for a long period of time.
I really do. I know I do.
And Lauren, the main thing you need is structure. And I'm sure they've suggested to you some sort of residential living environment, yes?
No, because my dad is actually a very decent person now. It's any problems that we have...
I understand.
My problem.
I understand.
Hey,
your parents contributed to
there's no such thing as it's somebody. Some people have problems. It's never 100% one person's problem. No. Hey, believe me, your dad's messed up, and maybe he's gotten a little bit together, and God love him if he has. However, you have to get into some serious therapy.
Well, long-term, highly structured, interpersonal experiences are usually what help this out. What happens in folks like Lauren is, amongst other things, the part of their brain that develops perspective-taking and empathy doesn't work. That part of the brain that hasn't developed yet. And so then that takes, you're literally talking about growing brain. It takes months, if not years.
Well, I'm always amazed when there's somebody this messed up and I never lived with her at one point in time. You know, I haven't met her. No, but Lauren, the deal is this. Lauren, just seriously, you got... Where do you go from here? You're taking multiple drugs, multiple sex partners. You're cutting yourself. You're cutting other people. Right. There's a danger. There's a cliff you're heading for.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to go off it unless you go and
spend
really want to change.
Spend some time in a highly structured residential style environment. That's usually what works for this kind of thing. Talk to your doctor about that. Keep following their direction. Capitulate to this process. Don't think that you can solve this one on your own.
But it's a dangerous. This is the most dangerous call we had tonight. I mean, I know absolutely nothing about what I'm saying this.
And should you ever come across Rob Schneider, do not date him. That would really, that's that cliff we were talking about.
Yes.
The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. The great Rob Schneider in here with us. I'm Dr. Drew, and Loveline will return.
Loveline will be right back. Be right back.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Rob Schneider, let's talk scrotal pimples. Here we go. This is Jose's 22.
Oh, thank God. I was wondering if this was going to come up.
Here we go.
If they didn't bring it up, I was going to bring it up.
Jose, what's happening?
What's going on there, pal?
I have, like, this kind of pimples on my ball sack.
Well, what kind are we talking about there? What are you, little ones?
This kind.
Well,
this kind?
Like different sizes. Well, like
different sizes. Now, when you say different sizes, now what are you talking about?
Like some
talking
of
about
can squeeze them.
In a razor size or like one that the smaller sometimes?
They're small. Like
they're small?
Yeah.
Okay, now. So, like, you have them where now?
In my ball sack.
On my, yes. See.
You know, the ball sack.
The ball sack, yes. That's a technical term for where your nuts are.
That's right. And the ball sack is a place where you can, the nards, yes, are a place where you can get to pimples.
Sure.
And they're really carbuncles and furuncles, things like that, and they can get kind of infected. So you need to kind of take care of them. Pus does come out of them. Mm-hmm. And let's play a little Germany or Florida before we finish up this night. Wow. This is Nathan, 17.
You know, they got this new thing now called a loofah.
Loofah. And
how about just
soap and dry air?
Yeah, just go out or just, you know, get in a squatting position for 4 days. They'll go away.
That's an area that can get lots of bacteria and stuff. And so you can get
especially from Jose, I guess.
Especially around adolescence, that can happen. So, and by the way, Jose, don't assume it's pimples. Somebody may want to look at that to make sure diagnostically that it's not something else.
Could be something. I bet something else.
Nathan.
Something gross. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, what's up, Rob?
What's up?
Germany or Florida? Here we go.
What do you got, pal?
All right. What was a normal day for emergency operators turned out quite hectic. According to local law enforcement, a man called on a cell phone claiming to be suicidal. When police arrived, they found him in a tree about 15 feet up, dead from a bullet wound to the head, and was wearing a suit dressed like a vampire, a spokeswoman said. When law enforcement searched his house, they found a note that was written by the man that said, "Satan was calling, and I answered him. May he make my passing into the netherworld a joyous one." The man was reported by neighbors to be acting strangely because of his earlier divorce, a spokeswoman said. He was 38 years of age. Germany or Florida?
Oh, that's easy.
Germany or Florida?
Oh, that's definitely Florida.
I got Germany on that.
No, it's definitely Florida.
Floridians are not nearly that creative.
Yeah, that's true. It seems almost well-read, this guy.
Yeah, Louisiana maybe, but not Florida.
Now, I'm going to say it's Florida just because about the officers and the ambulances and stuff. Because they don't have that as much of that stuff in Germany. So I'm going to go definitely Florida.
What do you got there, Nathan?
It's Germany. You got it right, Drew.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow. Where in Germany? So I can put that on my next...
Dusseldorf.
Come on. Wiesbaden. Where?
Does it say
where
Nathan?
Where in Germany?
Oh, where is in Germany?
Yeah.
It didn't say it, just said Germany.
Oh,
I Googled it, so.
All right.
All right, Nathan, thanks a lot.
Hey, no
thanks,
problem,
pal.
And I, you know, this morning as I was showering, I was just thinking of those lyric tones from last night when you mentioned in German.
Yeah.
A description of your own anatomy.
Ich habe eine große Schwanzstucke und rot und dicker.
What, stupid?
Ich habe große,
big.
Schwanzstucke.
Is that what you eat, or is it like something?
Schwanzstucke is your Schwanzstucke.
Your Schwanz.
Schwanzstucke. Is a hard.
Eine große Schwanzstucke.
Und rot.
Und rot.
It's red. Und dicke. I have a big penis that's red and thick.
Und dicke is thick.
Und dicke is
thick. Schwanzstucke und dicke.
Well, if it's red, well, I mean, what if it's not thick, what's the use of it?
Where, Bertel, did you learn this lovely phrase?
I think I had a substitute teacher, John Ross, when I was in high school, taught me that. Nice guy. He's a comedian here in L.A.
I have a really big dick.
Schwanzstucke.
Schwanzstucke.
And what was he teaching you in high school?
Well, he was a comedian friend of mine, actually. He said, hey, dude, you know, I'm coming to your high school. I'm gonna be, and he told me that. I was in German class.
Oh, he was in German. Oh, yeah. So he teaches you how to say, I've got a really big Schwanzstucke.
Yeah, I never forgot it.
And Stucke.
It's one of those things you laugh your ass off and you never forget.
Wow.
You know.
Oh, this wasn't private school. Your parents weren't paying for this.
No. It's Terranova High School in Pacifica.
Outstanding. Well, listen, we got to take another break. Yes, it's ridiculous.
What happened?
Yeah, I know. This night has been just flying
past. It just flew by.
So we'll be back after this.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Another night with Rob Schneider and his Große Schwanzstucke.
Yeah, the Große Schwanzstucke und Roten Dicke will be here tomorrow, fully engorged again for
I just can't wait. I can't wait. That's just such a luscious image. Yeah. Well, listen, get us back tomorrow night in just a mere 22 hours. We'll be back with you. Rob Schneider will be in here again tomorrow night. And in the meantime, keep an eye out for European Gigolo, Deuce Bigelow. We'll be out on DVD Tuesday, November 29th. And look out for Benchwarmers, which tested very well tonight.
Yeah, excited. Well, we'll see you all tomorrow.
We will do indeed. And until that time, I say mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline.
The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.